Today I want to share with you a topic from this week's parasha, the topic of Tachanun. Okay, Mr. Glatter, where's Mr. Glatter? You once asked me about this. You made a request that we should learn about Tachanun.
Yeah.
Topic of Tachanun.
In other words, why is there a propensity for people to omit Tachanun?
Okay, we can talk about that. I have a new chiddush from Rav David Cohn. That's why it's not a good idea to say Tachanun. Something I was not aware of. But let's just first discuss some of the basics. Let's go through some of the basic. He says, first of all, what does Tachanun have to do with this week's parasha? One of the main mekoros that there's something called Tachanun comes from this week's parasha. The pasuk says, "For esnapal lifnei Hashem korishayna arboim yom va'arboim laila." Moshe Rabbeinu, after he shouted the luchos, he went up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to be mispalel before Hakadosh Baruch Hu to be mispalel Mechila for the Chet Regel. Moshe was in Shemayim for 120 days, 40 days in preparation to 40 days to Mikabel the first Luchos. Right after Har Sinai, right after Matan Torah, Moshe went to study the Torah for 40 days. Then we shouted the Luchos when he came down. He went up for 40 days to be Mispalo to Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chet Regel, and then he went up for another 40 days to prepare for the Luchos Shnios. Luchos Shnios required its own set of 40 days, but the middle 40 days were days where he was mispalel for kapara for Klal Yisrael, and that 40 days was v'esnapal lefnei Hashem korishayna arboim yom v'arboim laila. So that itself is a very major, very powerful limud musa. When you're falling dead on your face for Tachanun, what should you be thinking? You should be thinking that I'm doing now what Moshe Rabbeinu did for 40 days. For 40 days, in between the luchos rishonis and the luchos shnios, to be mivakesh rachamim for the chet of the chet ha'ega. Now, let me just jump to bring out what Tachanun is about. Let me after we say Tachanun, which we'll discuss, which Mizmar is to be said, we say Shleider Yisrael three times, Misratz Berachamim, and then we say Vanachnu lo neida ma naseh ki olechanin, and we don't know what to do. Our eyes are towards you. What is the deeper meaning of this pasuk? This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. What is the deeper meaning of this pasuk? Why do we say this pasuk over here? So Mefarshim explained that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was mispalel, he's mispalel in three different modes. He stood, he sat, and he fell on his face. One pasuk tells us, V'eshev Bahar. Moshe, I sat in the mountain. Another pasuk says, "Vanochi amadeti v'har." I stood in the mountain, and now Moshe is ve'esnapal lifnei Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal, we find in the Chumash he was mispal in three different modes: standing, sitting, and falling on his face. After we have davened Birchas Kriyashma. Birchas Kriyashma must be said sitting down. If you ever see someone walking around during Birchas Kriyashma, you psuk the Zimra, you can be Mekel. What?
Why can't you say to extend? It says
Shulchan Aruch says just to sit. Yeah. That's Zman. That means learn to Talmud Torah.
Lech Chavaderech
is while you're traveling on the road.
You don't have to be sitting.
The Gemara just says over there is Alavacha Bamida from Shema.
You have to stop. Can't be walking, but you can be standing.
As long as
okay, but Shulchan Aruch it says
you're not allowed to sit down anymore. If you start and you said Amel Aretz in your middle davening, and then you realize you should sit down for Kriyat Shema, you're not allowed. What you're allowed to do is you should sit
before
you say, Yotzer or Baruch Hashem. You're supposed to sit down. That's the Alavacha. But if you're standing during prayer,
yeah,
you forgot to sit down, then you're not allowed to sit down.
Uh-huh. Okay, I know that. Okay, but ideally, you should sit down in the very beginning. Before you give the bracha of Yotzer, Hamoros, you should sit down.
That's because he takes you over to the
next one of the things.
Okay. But ideally, a person should be sitting. And then, when we do the Shemoneh Esrei, the Hakpadas, one should be standing. And now we fall on our face. So every single day, we go through every single form of prayer: sitting, standing, and then we fall on our face. So when we conclude, we say, "Ribbono shel Olam, we've done everything we can possibly do. We sat, we stood, we fell on our face. Va'anachnu lo neda manaseh. We don't know what more we can do. You have to answer us. We have no other option." Okay, that's a very... Why are you, you're supposed to stand up? You're supposed to stand up. Yes. You're supposed to stand up after you say that pasuk, because you're sitting. Tachnun is you're falling on your face. Tachnun is you're falling on your face. It's gradual. You're on your face. You're finishing tachnun. Then you just sit up and you say Shemer Yisrael and Mishratz Rachamim. And now Vanachnul Neida Manase. You want to show I fall on my face. I sat. And now I'm going to stand. I'm doing everything that you can possibly do, because this comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did all three different types of prayer. That's why we say Vanach Lonida Manase. Now, in addition,
we were saying, because we don't know if we should stand or sit.
Well, you have to do everything. We don't know what more to do. We've done everything that we can possibly do. There's a tefillah that's done when you're sitting. A tefillah that's done when you're sitting. There's a tefillah that's done when you are on your face. We've done everything that you can possibly do. Three different types of tefillah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now there's another makar. If David Cohen says another very important makar, it comes from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech said, "Kichalitzes in Melachim, in Melachim Perik Melachim Aleph Perik Ches Pasik Nun Dalit." It's a long Perik. I think it's Pasik Nun Dalit, if I'm not mistaken. Kichalitzes Shlomo Lehispalel El Hashem Eis Kol Hatfila VeHatachina Hazos. After Shlomo HaMelech, he built the Beis HaMikdash and he was mispalled. The Beis HaMikdash should be a mokum of the Hashras Hashchina, a Beis Tfil L'chol Ha'amim. After Shlomo HaMelech, he finished, concluded this Tfil VeHatachina Hazos. Come, he stood up, he lifted Mizbach Hashem Michroya Al Birkov, from bowing on his knees. The Chap of Perusas Hashemayim, and he extended his hands towards heaven. So it says that he stood up from bowing down on his knees. Bowing down on his knees, Michroya Al Birkov, is the Tzura of Nefila Sapayim. His head is on the ground. It is a form of Tachnun. This was the Tzvila that Shlomo HaMelech expressed at the time when the Mikdash was complete. Again, we see that it's the Tzura of Tzvila to fall upon your face. Another Makar comes from Daniel. Daniel said, "Mispalel u'misvadeh." I was mispalel u'misvadeh. I don't have the exact pasuk here. U'mabel t'chinasi lifnei Hashem. There's a pasuk in Daniel which Daniel also mentions that he fell on his face. So Sach HaKol, there are three sources for this form of prayer: Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlomo HaMelech, and Daniel. Each one carries it's a different tkufa. Moshe Rabbeinu was before we came into Eretz Yisrael. It was during the time of Kabbalat Sator, the very, very beginning. And then Shlomo HaMelech was at the time when Klal Yisrael was achieved its highest. The pinnacle of Klal Yisrael was the time of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash, and then after the Churban, looking forward to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, is the time of Daniel. It's a form of tefillah that is common all different stages of Jewish history. Moshe Rabbeinu, before we built the Beis HaMikdash, in the process of Matan Torah, then comes again Shlomo at the time when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and then after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, as a yearning that we should once again be zocheh to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Daniel was mispalel for the Bayis Sheni, which indeed came to be, but that's only part of the process to build the Bayis Shlishi. That is the third form of tefillah.
Okay. Yeshua also
something. Yeshua falling on his face. Chota Yeshua by Ochon. Ochon, it could be that it says that he fell down on his knees. It could be by Ochon. Chota Yisrael. You're right. Could be there's another Makar. But these are the three major Makaras. Now, something that's very interesting about that Tachnun. What do we say for Tachnun? It is our custom to recite Mizmor Vav. Okay, Mizmor Vav. Hashem al ba'apichos sechini ve'abachamoskos yashreni chaneni Hashem ki umal ani. We recite this mizmar. Now you should be aware, this is not the Ikur mizmar. Everyone complains that we don't say tachna. They go to a chassidish shtibul, they don't like to say tachna. They're always looking for an excuse for yard site, or even not a yard site, not to say tachna. Well, guess what? The Ashkenazim do the same thing. The people that are the Misnagdim, they also are looking for excuses not to say Tachnun. And the proof is because they don't say the real Tachnun. The real Tachnun is what the Sfardim say. And this is what's brought down in the Zohar. The Zohar, the real Mizmor Chof Hei. The real Tachmon is what it says in the Zohar, Mizmor Chafei.
Lubavitch only says Chafei, they don't say it.
Chafei Lubavitch also. Okay, that's the real deal. Why is that the real deal? Because there begins the Dovid, first of all, Lubav Hashem Elecha. Why? Because what it begins? Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. That says it all. First of all, Mizmor Chafei, you should be aware, has all the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's almost like saying Ashrei. Just like Ashrei, you go through all the letters of the Aleph Beis, Mizmor Chafei goes through all the letters of the Aleph Beis. It starts with Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. And then it goes to... Not so many. They're not that many. Kuf Yutes goes multiple eight times. But this has... The only letter that's missing in this Aleph Beis is the letter Vav. The letter Vav is missing, and the Zohar says, why is the letter Vav missing? This really says it all, because the letter Vav in this Kabbalah, so I don't have to understand what this means, the letter Vav represents the Koyach of life. It's the Eitz Chaim. I guess the Vav, it stands straight up, it's erect, it represents the Shlemus of Chaim, it represents the Eitz Chaim. The theme of Mizmor Chaf Hei is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm giving up my life, I'm Moser Nefesh, take my Neshama. Why is Hoyve the Vav? Hoya, yeah, Hoyve is the present. But really, that's really Hoyar. That's an Aramaic. Okay, the present. Why is that do anything? The present. Okay, whatever. Vav is life. You want to give the present's life. All right, fine. But whatever it means, the Zohar says the essence of what a person is doing during the time of Tachmon is you're giving up your life to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem, take my life. I don't deserve to live. I have sinned to you. I want to sacrifice my neshama, a human sacrifice. Like Aaron Ravina was offering Yitzchak on the Akedah, that is what you're attempting to do during Tachmon. And that's why the Zohar says the Vav, the most appropriate mizmor to recite during Tachmon is the mizmor Chafhei, where it explicitly says in the very beginning, Elecha, to you, Hashem, Nafshi, my soul, Esau, I lift up. Take my soul. You could have it. I'm giving up my life. And that's why in this mizmor, the Ois Vav is absent. Because the Ois Vav, from all the letters of the Aleph Beis, represents life. You know, in the Sefer Torah, every single Amud has a Vav. The Vavei Ha'amudim, Eitz Chaim Hi, L'machazikim Ba. A Torah is the Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim, every single column begins with the letter Vav. I'm giving up my life, the letter Vav is missing because we're dealing here with death. That's what a person should do with Hamim Chai when he says Tachlan. So believe it or not, why don't Ashkenazim follow what it says in the Zohar? Because basically there's an expression, be careful what you pray for. Hashem might give it to you. Don't just be mispalel without kavanah. Who knows, if you want a tefillah, Hashem may give you. If you really say it sincerely, Hashem might take your life. Eilecha, say with kavanah, Eilecha Hashem nafshi asa, I give you my life. Hashem might say, oh, you want to give me your life, I'll take it. I'm in the mood of taking. It's very dangerous, and that is why it's shocking. Like I told you, we think only the Hasidim don't want to say Tachnun. What's Tachnun? The reason why Hasidim don't want to say Tachnun? It's because of exactly this reason. It's not so simple. When you're saying Tachnun, you're putting your hand down on your face, and you're falling, you're giving up your life. When a person dies, he's horizontal. When you're alive, you're vertical. The Vav Hamudim, the Vav is standing. Noifal Al Panim, when you're sitting, you're somewhere in between. But when you're falling Tachnun, you're really horizontal. It's a form of death. You're giving up your life. So Hasidim, don't pray for something that you don't want to happen. Don't get carried away with Tachanun. Don't say Tachanun at all. Ashkenazim, Litvaks, Misnagdim, they're somewhere in the middle. We're going to say Tachanun because you have to. It's the Tzur of Tzvila. But we're not going to do what the Zohar told us to do, to say the Iker Tachanun and Mizmor Chafei, because that might be going a little bit too far. We'll say other things which come close, but don't actually explicitly al tiftach peh l'satan. It's an amazing idea of what Tachlan, how serious Tachlan is. Now, Rav Dov HaKohen, he's very interesting. Why is it by Hasidim that whenever there's a yard sale, they don't say Tachlan? So he elaborates upon this thing that I always thought was because it's a time of Simcha. In a time of Simcha, you know, you don't want to mix together Tachnun during the time of Simcha. For example, a chassan, when the chassan comes to Beis HaKnesses, everyone becomes a shutef with the chassan, and being And being that a chassan, and being that a chassan is not in the frame of mind to give up his life, he's now. This a lot of this, what I'm telling you, comes from the same Mital Hashemayim by the Edom of Rav Avadi Yosef Zechar Livracha, by Rav Mordechai Yitzchak. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Toledano. So he says that the reason why you don't say Tachna when a chassan isn't present is because a chassan, you have to be in the proper frame of mind. It's not so much halacha. It's a very fascinating concept. Yisod, there are a lot of pages to bring out this yisod. It's not halacha. Tachna, first of all, you have to be aware, Tachna is a reshus. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch and Chazal that you must say Tachna. You must say Tachna? Yeah. That would be mafsik. Tatfil al-Richta. Okay, you're right. He touched the point. I'll get that back to another second. Is it part of tefillah? Is it tefillah arichta, or is it a separate tachin? That's really what the Rambam. We really the machlokes. The Rambam.
The Rambam is a tour.
But the machlokes, I think, primarily there is tachman is a part of the Shmona Esrei, or is it something which is independent, and that ties into if it's part of Shmona Esrei, it becomes more of a chiyuv. If it's an independent chinah, then it's a reshus. But even if it's part of the Shmona Esrei, to some degree, it also can not an essential part of an extension to tefillah. We'll get back to that in a second. But there's basically a yisoid that a lot of the commentators bring out that nowhere in Chazal does it say that you mamish have to say tachman. It's a reshus. It's a reshus. It's a techina. It's a prayer. It's a good idea, but it's not an absolute requirement. And therefore, that's why some people get very carried away. They decide it's only a reshus, so you don't have to say it. Others say, listen, Ma'ariv is also only a reshus. But no one would dare not have a Ma'ariv because we today have accepted this reshus as an obligation. Now, being that's a more of a halachic point of saying Tachlin. Rav Toledano says that it's not just, there's another extremely important geder in Tachlin. It's a frame of mind. Tefillah is not totally in a frame of mind. You have no choice. You have to daven three times a day whether you like it or not. If you're not in the right frame of mind, get into the frame of mind. Tachnun, it depends upon a person's, it depends on the ambiance. It depends on what your frame of mind is. For example, how could it possibly be that if most of the month of Nisan you don't say Tachnun, that's an excuse not to say Tachnun for the remaining few days in the month? If most of Tishrei you don't say Tachnun, so the whole month you don't need, since when is there halacha that if most of the month, if most of the time you do one thing, and you give you different examples, so that affects the Hayu Luchot v'Hayu Luchot. Today is a Yom Tov, tomorrow is not a Yom Tov. So why is it that if a chassan comes to the Beis HaKnesses, oh, you don't have to say Tachnun? What's going on? Why is it in the base Ovel you don't say Tachnun? So the Ovel, what's going on? So he explains, because and all of these things have in common is when you say Tachnun, you have to be willing to die. You have to completely relinquish your lease on life. I don't want to live, I don't have anything to do with this world anymore. A chassan can't do that. A chassan is getting married. He's involved in the process of life. A chassan comes to Beis HaKnesses, everyone becomes a partner with the chassan. You're not in a frame of mind. I'm not in a frame of mind now to give my life to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Being that Tachna is only a reshus, it's not the right time. Chodesh Nisan, most of the month you're in a Yom Tov mode. That Yom Tov mode automatically changes your outlook for the remaining days of Tishrei and Nisan into a frame of mind of enjoying life. It's Yom Tov. You enjoy life naturally. It extends to other days in the month. So you're not in the frame of mind, Mela, it's a Rishus, you don't have to say Tachlan. Now what about a Beis Avel? This is very interesting when he says, the Beis Avel, the Avel is, it's the opposite. He's disgusted. He is disgusted with death. He witnessed death. He witnessed the loss of a relative, and it's disturbing. An Avel is trying to run away from death, to remove himself from this horrible experience. Whole different look at why you don't say Tachnun in the Beis Avel. Avel has the bitterness of death, that's the time of Aninus. This Shiv, the 7 days, are days of comfort. What's the purpose of comfort? What are you trying to do during the days of an Oinein? Doesn't daven altogether. He's out of the picture, right? He's out of the picture. Oinein, an Avel, you're coming to give him comfort. What is comfort? Live. Don't sink into a mode of death. don't sink into depression. Death was, what was. You can't go undo death. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department. We want to comfort you. HaMakom Yirachem Eschem. Come back, enjoy life. Or we're going to fall Tachanun in the Bay of Savel. You'll have him sink into a deeper state of depression. It is the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish in the base Ovel. Now, when Ovel comes to the base HaKnesset, he's an interesting child. Ovel, let's say the Ovel does not have a minion in his home. And he comes to the base HaKnesset. And he comes to the base HaKnesset to say Kaddish. Does the Tzibur say Tachnun? Absolutely. There is a very important difference between an Ovel and a Chosan. When a Chosan comes to the base HaKnesset, you don't say Tachnun. But when Ovel, if he doesn't have a minion in his home, and he comes to the base HaKnesset says Tachnun. What's the difference? A Chosan, everyone joins. We're all part of you. We're all part of you. You're enjoying life. We're going to enjoy life. We're not in a frame of mind to be Meiser Nefesh. An Ovel, the tzibur is not nigrar achar the ovel. A base hakneses does not turn into a base ovel when ovel shows up temporarily. The ovel, the oilam, and the oilam is not nigrar, so the oilam does their thing, and the ovel does his thing. The ovel does not say tachlin, so he should not sink into a greater degree of depression, but the tzibur is not attached. Now, Rav David Cohen says something very interesting. Rav David Cohen says, why don't you say tachlin? Why is it the Levi Chassid that you don't say tachlin on the day when there's a yard site? He says, because a yard site is a Yom Hadin. It is a Yom Hadin for the Nifter, and it is a Yom Hadin for the family. Because if their relative has died on this day, Isra Mazle, their mazel is weak. If a person says Tachnun on a day that his mazel is weak, and is serious about the Tachnun, he taka might die. Because what is Nikra Tachnun, as we mentioned? Nikra Tachnun is not Mizmor Vav, it's Mizmor Chafei. Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. God, take me. Take my neshama. On a day when you have bad mazel, on a day when there's din for your family members and you, Hashem might taka listen to you. He might take away your neshama. Something terrible might happen. So it's not a good idea to say Tachnun on the day of a yahrzeit. Now this flies in the face of the atmosphere that you experience when you go into a shtibul and it's the yahrzeit of a tzaddik. Oh, it's a yahrzeit. It's a yomtiv. It's a yomtiv. It's a day of celebration. We're all in a good mood. It's a yom hilula. Yom hilula, make a bracha. We're not going to say Tachnun. That's a whole different approach. Rav David Cohen is saying mamish, a different derech. It's not different. It's a different derech. Not a different derech. It's a different, because it's a yom hadin. It's a yom hadin. Isra mazle. You want to give up your life when you say Tachnun? Watch out. Hashem might listen and maybe you're dangerous. What? If you take it to its natural extension, yes. Now Ashkenaz, we don't do that. Ashkenaz, obviously, we don't take it so seriously. We say that lo yu'une lo tzadik ra, shoyim a mitzvah lo yeda dover ra, yim a spalo, we're not afraid it's going to happen.
Either way.
Whatever it is, we don't say tachnun, which says kavan anyway, that it's so serious, but this is what it's about. These are what it's all about. And the, I mean, the biggest proof is what he says over here, what Rav Avi Yosef Sanlo says, Toler of Toledano, is that we don't say the real Tachlan because we're really afraid. We're cowards. We're chickens. We the Zohar.
But the Sfaradim do.
The Sfaradim do.
When there's a
Lubavitch does.
They don't say?
They do. They do, because they're not afraid. They're the real deal. They're the real deal. They're not afraid. But we're chickens. We the Hasidim, and that's what he's saying, a bunch of cowards. We can't even say it once.
I would want to say my show.
Yeah.
Gemara has a story. Gemara has a story of Gamaliel's sister was married to Rabbi Lozar.
Right. Right.
Because she was afraid.
So kills brother. Kills her brother. Right.
So the Hasidim, whenever there's a chance, when you're reminded of a young man,
Shari Oino.
When there's a Yom Adin, don't say Tachnun, because if you're thinking of death already, you're not thinking of your death. You're thinking of somebody else.
Right. It's a very.
I think by the Sfaradim, there's a different type of approach to life, that you don't think of killing somebody else, you know? If he rips, you know, you have a lot of covet for
Torah. The Zohar is clear that it's not about someone else's death, it's about your own death.
Yeah,
it's about giving up your own life.
The Gemara, the
Maisel, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Gamliel, she did not let him say Tachan. There's another point you're making, a very good point. Chazal say, Bizman Hazeh, all the gates of Tefillah have been closed except the Shari Oino. There's another Chazal, Shari Demos. But if you have been wronged, if someone has caused you tsar, has caused you pain, and you complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that so-and-so has caused me pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. It's very dangerous. And when you fall on your face and you express your frustration, that may indeed have an effect. It's a very potent prayer. And what do we take out of this? Being that Rabbi Eliezer's wife did not allow her husband to say Tachnun because she was afraid, because Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem by Rabbi Gamliel, she was afraid that Rabbi Gamliel, when he would fall Tachnun, that he would have some small degree of frustration over what his wife's brother did, and now Sharo no loinin alu, and that would cause his death. And indeed it happened. One day she was off guard because it was Rosh Chodesh, and she thought it was Chodesh, and she went outside and was not, and he fell Tachlon. And so one thing you learn, that when you daven, you see how potent the prayer is, and you also see from that Maisa the koyach of the shari never cause a person tsar. Because Rachman al son, the person even may not even be aware, if he have frustration when he falls Tachlon, when he's in Mispalel, that is a very serious matter. Now there's another, what?
You also see what we learned in Eeyub today, tzaddik.
Tzadik Goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. But how many tzadikim are there? You have to be on a very high madrega. Okay. Now, okay, another quick thing is the Tachnun is Vesnapal Lefnei Hashem. From that we learn that it must be the Shechina present. How do we create the Shechina Bizman Hazeh? A Sefer Torah. Today you only fall Tachnun on your face if you have in the Beis HaKnes a Sefer Torah. It's Machlokes HaPoskim if you have a Sefer Kodesh. If you have a Shas, you have a Shul, there is no Sefer Torah, but there are Sfar printed books. Is that enough to fall Tachnun? Some say yes, some say not. They have Machlokes opinion. Now he brings here a very big Chiddush, an incredible Chiddush of Toledano. Unbelievable Yisoid, he says. When you're planning on saying Tachnun, he brings on the Rambam, as you mentioned before, there's a machlokes the Rambam. The Rambam, first of all, you're allowed to be mafsik. After you say Tachnun, are you allowed to go out for a shmuz, take a phone call? You daven Shmona Esrei, Chazor Sashatz, part of the Shmona Esrei, and then you get an important phone call. Are you allowed to go outside, take the phone call, and come back and catch up and they say Tachlan Asher Volatzion? Or just like you wouldn't dare take the phone call in the middle of Chazor Sashatz, you're not allowed to take the phone call in between Chazor Sashatz and Tachlan. The Rambam is very machmir. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to be mafsik between Shmona Esrei and Tachlan. Other Shonim disagree, they hold you are allowed to be mafsik. The Ram holds that Tachnun is a tefillah richta. It is an extension of tefillah. It's part and parcel of the Shemona Esrei. Others say no, it's a separate independent bakasha, a different tzur tefillah. It's not connected to tefillah. Very big nafkamin into this halacha is, you go to many shuls, mincha minyanim, in the workplace, where they don't say Tachnun. It's wrong. It's shaloi kedin. You're supposed, if you're an there's no such thing anywhere in Shulchan Aruch where b'shita we don't say Tachlan. So they don't say Tachlan. What's their excuse? I don't know what their excuse is. So are you okay? That's getting to Chassid that very late. Okay, the first meeting they said I don't know what they are. That's Chassidish. So there's a very important halacha that people do not know. Just because they're not saying Tachnun doesn't mean you shouldn't say Tachnun. If you go to a menu where they don't say Tachnun, there's no excuse for you not to say Tachnun. Problem is, the only chance you'll have to say Tachnun is after Aleinu Kadosh Yosem. No big deal. You can say, I know there's someone here, David Feinstein, he says, absolutely, after they finish Aleinu and Kadosh Yosem, you gesunte hate, sit down and fall Tachnun and say Tachnun. If that's your custom, you'd custom, and you now happen to go to a menu where they don't say Tachnun, and there's really no excuse why they're not saying Tachnun, you should say Tachnun. The only thing that you're losing out is there is a slight hefsek, because the ikum moment according to the Rambam to say Tachnun is after the Shemona Esrei. But b'diavad, you can be simcha on the Rishonim that it's not tied into the Shemona Esrei. You can say Tachnun later on. Yeah.
That Tachnun is tied to Shemona Esrei. If you say I'm going to say Kaddish after that, you say Tachnun right away. and then you say Kaddish after
the say Kaddish, but you do say Yehi L'Ratza. Yeah, right, yeah. You don't say the Kaddish to Skabel.
The
Kaddish to Skabel is said after the Tachna. Even the Chatzi Kaddish. And certainly, right.
After that you say.
Right, so it goes so. But you still, he has the question that according to the Rambam, L'Chaira, you should not say Yehi L'Ratza. Yehi L'Ratza is the Chasim of Tzvila. You should say Yehi L'Ratza when you finish Tachna. We'll feed the Rambam. You need the Tzarachin. Why? Because to some degree we hold that they're two separate things. It's not one of Tzvila Richla. But now he says here, a Chiddush which really shook me up. It shook me up and it really changed my whole attitude towards Shmon Esrei. It's a very Chiddush. Could I for me at least to see this Chiddush, this whole thing for this Chiddush. He says as follows. According to the Rambam, it's Tzvila Richla. Tachnun is Lefnei Hashem. You have to be in the frame of mind to give me and nefesh to give up your neshama to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Eilech Hashem nafshi esa, and it's a tefillah richta. So he says, if you're planning to say tachnun at this tefillah, it changes the shmona esrei. Most people have the attitude, I daven shmona esrei, shmona esrei. Chazar Sashatz. And now we're gonna debate. We're gonna debate. Well, everyone's gonna take out their boxing gloves and we're gonna have a fight. Should we say Tachnun? Should we not say Tachnun? Is the yard side a good yard side or not a good yard side? Is it a good reason? Different minhagim? We'll have a debate when we finish Chazar Sashatz. Everyone cast your vote and let's debate the issue. But Shmon Esra, Shmon Esra, it's not a pshat. If you're gonna say Tachnun, then it's a different Shemona Esrei. If you're planning to say Tachnun when you finish Shemona Esrei, and you plan on saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, take my neshama, I want to be like Yitzchak, I want to be a human sacrifice, that means when you start Hashem Sifosai Tiftach Ufi Yagit Hilo Secha Baruch Ato Hashem, your attitude in the Shemona Esrei is a different attitude. A day that you don't say Tachnun, it's a day of life. It's a yontif. Someone's getting married. Then your Shmona Esrei is a Shmona Esrei of I want to live Hashem. I need you to help me. It's an added. The Shmona Esrei is a different Shmona Esrei. The attitude that you have in your Shmona Esrei depends upon your plan. If you plan on saying Tachlan, and he says Zadach Mina LaHalacha, just to bring out the point. Let's say there's a Chassan who comes to the Beis HaKnesses for Shul, and after he finishes the silent Shmona Esrei, he disappears. He's gone.
Yeah.
He leaves the Beis HaKnesses. And now they finish Chazor Sashatz.
Yeah,
it's a Monday, Thursday. Oh, I don't want to say I'm not interested in this long Tachnun. Where did the guy go? He's gone. Oh no, we gotta say Tachnun.
Oh, he does.
No, you don't. No, you don't. If he was there, if the Chassan was there for Shmona Esrei, you don't say Tachnun. And the other way, if the Chassan shows up late, he shows up in the middle of Chazor Sashatz, I guess, or the middle after, it's too late. Because the din of Tachnun affects the Shmona Esrei. Unbelievable. Yeah.
What do we pass?
I don't know what we pass. That's what we pass. He takes this Yesoid so far. This is a shocking Chiddush. Appreciate what he's saying. It's a Tzila Arichta Tachnun. Tachnun's essence is Elecha Hashem Navshi Esa. It's a dangerous type of thing to play around with, this concept. And we don't even want to get involved. We don't even say the Tachnun. We say Vav Nachaf Hei. But this starts with your attitude in Shmona Esrei. Unbelievable! What your Shmona Esrei should be like, your frame of mind. Nafkamina la halacha. It's not just Jewish. The chassan disappears in the middle. Avel. So all these type of things. It's one long shot. It's a very, very powerful yisoid. Oh, why do we say it? So first of all, so the answer is since Moshe Rabbeinu, all of the examples are examples of bakasha for slicho mechila. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal for kapara when he felt tachman. Right? Isn't that what he did? He felt for the chedu egel. Shlomo HaMelech also, okay, Shlomo doesn't talk about say chatoim. Shlomo just fell with his mispalel. Daniel, there was a vidui of chayt. You're asking a very good question of Ashkenazi, the Labab, the Rav of the Kfar Chabad. He asked your question. We already said slach lanu avinu ki chatanu mechalim makinu ki fashanu. What you don't believe in the koyach of Shmona Esrei, you have to say nochmal lashanu baganu golzan di banu dofi. Rav Kefet, he says he doesn't understand. He goes to the shtiblach and they're all saying lashanu baganu golzan. They're barfing. He says, I don't understand. When did he have time to do all these averes? I'm busy the whole day. I don't have time to do some averes. How did they all have so much time to do all the averes where they could say all the? But it's a good question. So he says that the very Rav Ashkenaz is the very serious difference. When you say slach lanu avinu ki chatanu mechal lanu malkinu ki fashanu, you're asking Hashem to forgive you for the punishment. But the chait still remains. I've sinned, but just don't punish me. Slach lanu ki chatanu. I've sinned, so forgive me, don't punish me. The chait remains. You need the koyach of tachnun to fall on your face, on the ground, to wipe out the record. There was never a sin.
So why doesn't Ashkenaz say?
Why does Nashkenaz? That's really what we're doing. Part of the Nusach, it's not part, we don't say it explicitly, Hashan Magana, but part of the Mizmar. In the Mizmar, we ask Hashem to forgive us. The various Mizmar, either Vav.
It's not the real Mizmar, Nashkenaz.
Well, it's good enough. It's close enough. It's not as explicit as what the Sfaradim say, but there are references to Chatoyim and the different ideas expressed here as well. Okay. Other things, we have a Hurachim. Hurachim is a very mysterious prayer. Who composed Hurachim? He collects a very nice collection of either Midrashim or Mamore Chazal. Who composed the Hurachim? Hurachim was composed by different Rabbanim in Hakara after they suffered very great Yisurim in times of Shmad. The very difficult times of Shmad. And the people survived, and they composed this long prayer. Was composed by three people, six or seven different sections, but it was composed by three people who composed what we say on Monday and Thursday. Habet Zodim Chusa. Kaleinu Ezreinu, everyone wants to discuss this. This was, the true legend is, it was composed by Chizkiyahu HaMelech at the time of the siege of Sancheriv. And that's why the Rosh Tevos, Hey, Zayin Ches backwards, Ches Chusa, Zayin Zorim, Chiz, Kaleinu Ko, Chizki, Yod, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shuv Mecharoi Na'pecha V'nichem Alarol Amecha. That's the Yud Chizkiyah, and the Hey Habet, and the Vav. I should have done this. What? No, not Hurachom. It's all in this section of here. Hashem Habet Zanim Chusa Kaleinu. Could we have to do the gematria then? No, it's not Vanachnu. Okay, I don't remember. Okay, but the legend is that these parts were composed by Chizkiyah at the time of the siege of Sancheriv. And that's why we hear them on Monday and Thursday during the time with Moisef and during the time of Rachamim. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good day.